Been asked to do a song this week, and so I got in touch with my friend Greg Leavers. In fact, no, he got in touch with me, and he mentioned that he has a few more verses to the bicycle song. So I listened to them, and they're very good, except Some of the words don't work for us in these days. We can't really go on an aeroplane, can we, at the moment? And not many of us are allowed in the shops either. So we will sing it as we know it. And I will add these two more verses that Greg has told me about. I have changed a few of the words. So hope Greg doesn't mind. You might be on your bicycle, you might be in a car, you might be flying in a plane and not know where you are. You might be in your bedroom, you might be in a shop. It doesn't matter where you are, it's all the same to God. God says, call to me anytime, that'll be fine. Anywhere, I will hear, because I care. 1, 2, 3, 4, you. Okay, next verse, the words will be on. You might be feeling so stressed out, you might have joy again. You might be walking in the sun or dancing in the rain. You might be feeling really frail, you might be full of fears. It doesn't matter when you pray, he loves you and he hears. God says, call to me anytime, that'll be fine. Anywhere, I will hear, because I care. 1, 2, 3, 4, you. You might be in the hospital, you might be having tea. You might be on a mountaintop or swimming in the sea. You might be wide awake at dawn or half asleep at night. It doesn't matter when you pray, God hears, so that's alright. God says, call to me anytime, that'll be fine. Anywhere, I'll hear, because I care. 1, 2, 3, 4, you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that it doesn't matter how we feel and it doesn't matter where we are, that you are listening. So Father God, we cry to you for our loved ones, for our nation, and we thank you, Lord, for our families. And Lord, we pray for those who really need help from you right now. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello to all our LBC family. We've certainly had our ups and downs through all of this. We have experienced many blessings, such as getting to know our neighbours better and communicating more with friends and family through various technology platforms. We are both in good health and are still working in key job roles, which we are both thankful for. So let us turn to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the current situation with the COVID-19 virus. We remember those unwell and individuals caring for them, especially those in our NHS and care homes. Pray for the families and friends who have recently lost someone, that they would experience your peace and comfort at this difficult time. In addition, we remember our government as they handle a delicate situation, that they will be able to reach the right decisions at the right time. Pray for scientists as they attempt to find a vaccine to deal with this. Let us give thanks for all our key workers as they continually put themselves at risk every day to help keep the world running. We uphold our church family during this time of separation. Help us to trust in you and keep us safe till we are able to meet up again. Finally, we remember our own families, friends and loved ones, many struggling with isolation. Pray everyone would experience your comforting presence and peace at this time. Amen.
Hello to all our lovely LBC family. We just wanted to share a little of how God has blessed us. We've just been blessed by good health and happiness, that we haven't got on each other's nerves. All our family have been safe and healthy. Our elderly parents, we're thankful for technology, that we've been able to check on them and keep in touch with everybody. Our business has been closed now for about 5 weeks, but we really feel that God's blessed us financially. We've kept our heads above water. We're managing, and we've been keeping in touch with all our customers, and they've been so supportive. and just really kind, and just letting us know that when things get back to normal, that they're there waiting for us, and everything hopefully will carry on as normal, if not better. So we're just really grateful that God's watched over every area of our lives, and we're just hoping and praying that all of you are the same, and that God's been watching over you and blessing you abundantly. And talking about abundantly,
he's also given us an abundance of hair.
We've got an abundance of hair, so I can't wait for haircuts. Sending love and prayers to you all.
Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of a synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and she had spent all she had on doctors, but none could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped.
"Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him, except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother.
Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to our sermon message in the series called Grace Encounters. I hope you have been blessed by the previous two messages as we journey together through this wonderful Gospel of Luke, where we found some new pearls, spiritual pearls that we can dig out from the very familiar passages, very familiar stories that we know. Yet I hope that the Lord keeps blessing you and brings something new to you. And in fact, I had a couple of emails this last few days from people to say how familiar passages indeed they are and how they still speak so powerfully to us. And that's my aim too, that indeed as we look at these very familiar passages of Jesus healing people, touching them, speaking to them, embracing them, walking among them, eating with them, we will find new revelations of his love for each one of us. Well, I hope that this message will find you well, that you, as we are now probably 7-8 weeks since we've been in lockdown, you find a lot of things to do to preoccupy yourselves, but also, as I mentioned before, you'll find a way in which you can come closer to God, in which you can feel his peace, feel his incredible forgiveness and grace flooding your life, flooding your family, place where you live. And I like to say a big thank you to our deacons who work so hard to make sure that everything and everyone is okay, that everybody is well looked after. And I personally like to thank them for their hard work in organizing all the bits and pieces to make sure that the church still runs in the background, the institution per se, although we cannot meet together. We had already a couple of Zoom meetings, and we're working hard to make sure that everything is in place for the time when we get back to church. And also like to have somebody share with me a wonderful story of D.S. Scott in our church, who even now every Sunday before he comes to listen to this message like you do, he wears his best Sunday clothes. Isn't that wonderful? That was so brilliant. And I think this is the attitude that we can all carry with us when we come to listen to this messages. We are here to encounter Christ, even if it is through this medium of technology. And again, we want to say thank you to the deacons, to Kevin, for putting this stuff together. And we're coming with our best before the Lord in the circumstances, which are very, very difficult. And some of us might be able to come in an easier way, some of us in a most difficult way. Some find it easy to come and listen to messages or to engage with God. Some don't find it so easy. It's a bit more difficult. But I really appreciate the fact that you manage to come and listen to these sermons, and I hope that they are really a blessing to you. Thank you again for the encouragement that I received from some of you in these last few days through emails or telephone calls to say how you've been blessed, how much you've been blessed by those messages. It really matters to me because, as you know, I don't like preaching to a camera like this, but it's really encouraging to see that the Lord is using this to bless you as you listen. So now we come to this wonderful third story of in the Gospel of Luke, where we look of how this encounters with Jesus transforms people's lives, from a paralytic man to a woman in our passage today here has a blood issue, as the scripture calls it here, a woman who had been subject to the bleeding for 12 years in this chapter 8 of Luke. So I want to look with you this morning at some of the truth that this story speaks to us, and how we can be encouraged and challenged by this at the same time. The early church was fascinated with this story. The church in the Acts of Apostles, at the very beginning of its infancy, they even believed that in the Latin name of this lady was called Veronica, or the Greeks, they thought she was called Bernice. I don't know where they've taken those, but they were fascinated with the story. They really loved the story, because at the end of the day, this story is two miracles in one. Jesus was walking about, and then this man, Jairus, comes to him and says, "Please come. I've got my daughter at home, 12 years old, who's really ill, who's really sick. Can you come?" This is a guy who has such a lot of faith in Jesus that he knew that if he invites Jesus to his home, his daughter will get better. And as Jesus listened to this man, and he shuffles among the crowd there, then this woman comes with this massive bleeding, and she touches Jesus, and Jesus heals her. Her faith in Jesus, by touching Jesus, gets her well. And there you have two miracles. One in which Jesus heals a person physically, but another one in which Jesus actually brings someone back to life. Two wonderful stories. This is what Jesus' ministry was all about. All these miracles point to the great, mighty two miracles of Christianity: the cross, death, the physical death, and also to the resurrection, when Jesus came back again. So those two miracles, they wrap it up together to point towards that big miracle of the cross and of the empty tomb. And so as Jesus was going to this crowd, he hurries through and here and there, and everybody was pushing, wanting to hear who this was. They probably heard the other miracles about the paralytic man. He also heard the other miracles that he'd been doing around the area with the sinful woman who anointed him, as we spoke last week, and wiped his feet with her hair, and so on. So now they want to hear more, to see more of this Jesus, you know, and they wanted to see whether they can get an up close and personal encounter with this new man that was in the village, in the town. And so this woman comes in, and she touches Jesus, and the scripture tells her that she has suffered for about 12 years. In the Mark Gospel, he says that, and gives us a better detail here, he says, had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and has spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. You see, Luke doesn't mention the word doctors because he is a doctor. So I would imagine he didn't want to put himself into that kind of peculiar situation and say, actually, we finished all our resources and we couldn't heal her. But this is exactly what Mark says. She's been trying everything for the 12 years, and now she had only one hope, one resource to go to this Jesus. And she has such a fantastic faith to go that she believed that if she only goes and see him or touch him, she will be healed. But let me tell you something that is very interesting in this story from the very beginning. That in that time, in the Israelite history and their belief and the Judaistic way of life and faith, it was that women like this, with a bleeding like this, they were considered to be unclean. They had to stay away. They had to stay away from people. They weren't allowed to be seen, or they weren't allowed to touch anyone, for that matter. And by the law of Moses, this woman was not allowed to come out of the house, basically. She should have stayed at home. And if she would have ever been caught out, should have been stoned to death. So this is the exactly attitude, the courage that this woman takes in her desperation, in her faith, to go on and be healed by Jesus Christ. She risks everything here. This is what I want you to understand, because it's very important. She leaves everything on one side. She is not afraid anymore of being stoned. She is not afraid of might be touching the religious leaders or other people. She leaves everything on that side, and she risks everything to go and see Jesus, that she might be healed. Another contextual background to this story is that in those days, there were three kind of cures for this illness, issue of blood. And I think one of them was this, that he was prepared a goblet of wine containing, listen to this, rubber, alum, and garden crocuses. So I was wondering what they've done if they haven't got any crocuses left, if the spring would have been over. So this is one of them. They were to mix them together, and the person who was ill would have had to drink and sometimes make an ointment out of that and put all over them. Another thing was eating Persian onions cooked in wine. I think this is what I had the other day for lunch. Carrying the third thing was carrying the ash of an ostrich egg in a certain cloth. And this where some of them diverge onto the superstitious kind of boundary, where people believe that if they eat that or put that on them or carry that or do the other, they will get better. Well, this woman probably tried some of this stuff and realized it hasn't worked. She went to the doctors and it didn't work. So now her last resort is to go to Jesus. Now Jesus, when he comes to the village, this news spreads like wildfire, and people were crowding over him, were touching him, were just curious to see who he is, what he does, and just wanted to be around him. He was that kind of person that people wanted to be around him and to experience his peaceful presence, his love, his care, his compassion. And we are told in the story that this woman becomes part of that crowd, this unclean woman, this woman with this blood issue. And she touches the corner of his garment. This is one of those four tassels that the Jews were wearing. Two were just outside their cloak that was... their cloak was quite a big garment, and there were two tassels left outside, and two were inside their shirt that they were carrying with them. And I would imagine this woman touches the one that were outside Jesus' long cloak that was right down on his coat, and she touches one of those tassels. And the scripture tells us in verse 44 and verse 47 that she was immediately... and in verse 47, instantly healed. Amazing. She touches and she is instantly and immediately healed. It was an incredible miracle. Jesus is going the other direction, and he is feeling something at the time. He is compelled to ask the question, almost like an electric shock went to his body. And he is compelled to ask the question, who touched me? And the disciples, of course, the scripture says here, I love this, when their reaction at Jesus' question, they say, when they all denied it, it wasn't me, Andrew, Peter, John, and some of the others, even Judas, I would imagine, said, oh, it wasn't me. Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. In other words, how can you ask such a silly question when all these people, everybody touches you around, you know? And Jesus says, no, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Someone has touched me and the power has gone out of me. Incredible statement. Jesus felt something very different. Something like an electrical shock went through his whole body. Who touched me? It seems that there are three kind of touches in the scripture. It's funny that we talk about a touch when we're not allowed to touch one another these days, and we need to keep our social distancing. But in the scripture, there are three kinds of touches. It's a touch of hostility. It's the touch that religious leaders had on Jesus when they captured him and they then beat him. When the Roman soldiers got him and beat him. There is a touch of curiosity. There's the touch of crowds pushing around Jesus throughout his ministry, coming close but never surrendering, coming to see and be curious but never really wanting to follow. And then there is the touch of faith. And this is what we see here, the touch of faith that comes from a woman who has a huge issue, coming to Jesus knowing that she will be healed. Please know this is a very incredible fact. Jesus did not ask this question for his own benefit, who touched me. But I believe there are some very important reasons why he asked this question. Number one, it was for her own benefit. Jesus wanted her to affirm her in her faith. You touch me. Incredible courage. Well done. He wanted to assure that it was her faith in him that made the difference. He appreciated her courage coming there because he knew she was unclean. He appreciated her the risk that she took to come and touch him. The other reason he asked that question is that he wanted her to know that her healing will be permanent and forever. And finally, I think, and this is very, very important, he wanted to establish a personal relationship with her and also to show the crowd that Jesus Christ is the healer, is the miracle maker, but above everything else, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And perhaps one of the most important things is that he wanted the crowd to know that he wasn't ashamed. No. He wasn't ashamed to be touched by those whom the society put on one side. By the marginalized, by those who were unclean. Jesus wanted to be touched by those who were unclean. I found that so powerful in the story. This woman has taken a real chance by touching Jesus. And as I said, according to the law, her touch could have made Jesus unclean. And those two persons would have been, even Jesus would have had to be put onto one side and isolated as a man if it had been touched by a woman like that. And at times even stoned to death if an unclean person would have touched another clean person. But because he was the Son of God, his power of healing overcame her uncleanliness. But she did not know that when she touched him. Of course she didn't. Our Lord Jesus was not ashamed to be touched by unclean people. Jesus was not ashamed. Not ashamed? No, not at all. Even delighted to be touched by such people. Why is this so important? Because I think it's very important in this story. And this is the crux, this is the vital point that I want you to understand in this story. When you look at the story here and you see that she begins to realize that something is different. Jesus said to her, looks to her and says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." It's the only time in Scripture that Jesus calls someone daughter. This is the word can be translated a bit more loosely, sweetheart or little girl. And It says, your faith has healed you. The word healed here is your life has been put together, has been made whole. You have been rewarded, in other words, with a new living, with a new power to live and go and be a new person. This is what that incredible heal word carries with him, the power that our word carries with him. So, in conclusion, I want to share two stories with you related to this incredible, powerful miracle in the scripture. Number one is I want you to see Jesus' sensitivity in this. This woman did by her touching of Jesus what Satan could never do. She stopped Jesus in his track. Is the only person in scripture that we find that had the ability and the power to stop Jesus in his tracks on the way to the cross, the way to go and die, and on the way to become the substitute of God's wrath. So she stopped Jesus, and Jesus could have rebuked her, could have had a go at her, could have done all sorts of things, but he doesn't. And he delights in her faith. He delights in the fact that she has such a courage to come and touch him. And this displays who Christ really is. He is not ashamed to be touched by the untouchable. We do not have a stoic Christ, a Christ who doesn't want to be touched, a Christ who doesn't understand our suffering. He understands the pain that we go through. He understands the difficulty, the loneliness, the fear, the anxiety that we go through at this time. His pain, our pain, touches his pain, his heart, and he feels that pain with us. It's so important in this story that we understand this, that in those circumstances that we go through, corona or loneliness or bereavement and whatever it is, that Jesus is not a stoic. Jesus is a person who understands what we go through. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest, someone up there, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He is someone who knows what we go through, and he likes to be touched. Let me encourage you again to use this time to go back to scripture, go back to an intimate time with Christ, and touch him. Touch him with your loneliness, touch him with your fear, with your anxiety, with whatever it is that goes into your heart. Touch him. Touch him. He would love to give you a hug and an embrace as you come to him with your worry or anxiety that is in your heart. And second thing that I wanted to share in the story, to conclude this incredible story, it's the power of this wonderful woman's faith. This story shows us that amazing power of a mustard seed faith, a very feeble faith, very little. She didn't have a huge amount of faith, but what she had, she was partially misguided, misplaced. She tried everything to get her life back together. She went to everyone and did everything until she came to Jesus. This story means that we don't have to agonize over the correct way to come to God. We can come as we are, how we feel. We can come really with all that we have in our hearts, all the burdens that we carry, and touch Jesus. It's so simple to come to him. Yes, there might be obstacles, there might be difficulties, there might be challenges on the way. But look at the story again and see the courage of this woman. She didn't care at the end what people might think or what might they say. She came with a faith that if she will come to touch Jesus, she will be healed. And indeed, she was healed. That's what feeble faith can do. Coming to Christ is not difficult. The hardest part is reaching out in faith to touch the corner of his garment. And so the story ends that Jesus sends a go in peace. And that word again is translated go into peace. In other words, from now on you've been healed and you will be living into God's peace. It is my huge desire that as you listen to some of these messages, as you read the scripture, as you come before the Lord, as you come through and with your feeble faith, you will experience that incredible healing power of Jesus Christ. In whatever circumstances you are, you will know that Christ is there waiting for your embrace, waiting for your touch of his heart. And so there we have it, two miracle stories, because Jesus carries on going to Jairus' daughter, and there as he arrives there, one of the servants comes to Jairus and said, oh, by the way, it's too late. Tell the master to go away because your daughter is dead. And then Jesus says, hey, she's not dead. She's asleep. Don't be afraid. He goes into the house with her, the little girl's mom and dad, with Jairus and his wife. And he brings this girl back to life. And he uses the word, my child, get up. We saw before in the story that Jesus uses the word my daughter. That's almost like a teenager, like a sweetheart. Here he uses the word my child. This is a child who was about 10, 11, 12 years old, or even younger than that. Two incredible words, but both bring closeness and intimacy, daughter and child. Those are the words that when you go before Christ, when you touch the garment of his, the corner of his garment, you will hear those words as you come into intimacy with him. I want to pray with you that the Lord will bless you as you listen to this message. Thank you again for your time, for your patience, and I pray that the Lord will bless you in this time of difficulties and challenges, of loneliness, and yet opportunity to come before him. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this story yet again. Two stories, two miracles happening in Jesus' life and in the life of those who were with him at the time. Father, we thank you for what we heard. Thank you for the feeble faith of this woman who came to touch Jesus, knowing full well that she will be healed. Lord, would you give us that courage and that faith to come before you, to come and touch your heart, the garment, the corner of your garment, to come and know that you are our healer, you are our provider, you are our God. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, we may have the power to come before you into an intimate relationship with you, to know your healing presence. I want to pray for those people who are listening to this message. Lord, would you bless them? Would you help them come before you with their fear, with their anxieties, with their worries about the future, their financial difficulties? Lord, help them come before you and let them be touched by your transforming grace. Let them be touched by your incredible, powerful healing presence, by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for us as a church. Prepare us for the time when we meet again. We pray for those who are struggling with loneliness in the fellowship. We pray for those who are struggling with ill health in our congregation. We pray for those who are lonely, who haven't seen their families, their parents, their mothers, their fathers. Father, we pray for those who are working in the in our hospital, in NHS, in the front line, who are drivers from our fellowship, or people in our families who are working in those emergency places. We thank you for them and keep them safe, we pray. As we pray for our Prime Minister, for our government, Lord, give them wisdom in knowing how to deal with the lockdown and with the release of this lockdown in the days to come. Lord, we pray that you will bring healing to a broken world just now. May we all, as humanity, as people, come to touch you again. May we come to know the healing power of Jesus Christ at this time, whether it's from Corona, whether it's from our aching souls, may we know the transforming grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, we thank you. Until we'll see each other again, we commend ourselves into your hands, into your loving care, and we ask for your peaceful presence to journey with us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. May the Lord be with you, bless you, and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. Live in the power of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen.
The future brings, I will walk.